Good morning, friends. This is Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital, and we are pleased to host Sudarshan Chemical Industries Q4 as well as 12-month ending financial year 2026 post-result earnings call. The call, as usual, will start with a brief management discussion on the quarterly and the full-year performance, followed by an interactive Q&A session. The management team here is represented by Mr. Rajesh Rathi, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Neelkanth Natu, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Amey Athle, General Manager Finance. Over to you, Mr. Rathi, for the initial comments, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Rathi.
Thank you. Thank you, Ankur. Thank you, Ankur, for hosting us and Axis Capital for hosting our call. Just kind of introducing Sudarshan again, I think more than a year ago, March 25, Sudarshan acquired the Heubach business. With this, we got businesses of Clariant, which is second largest pigment player globally, and Heubach's business. To give you a background, Clariant had invented most of the pigments in the world and is deep-rooted in innovation. Sudarshan, one of the fastest-growing pigment companies, the most profitable globally, with customer centricity and agility at its heart. Combining these two entities, we are creating the most value-adding pigment player globally, rooted in customer centricity, agility, and innovation. Very, very excited about our One Sudarshan journey and what we can bring to this industry. To remind again everyone, we have 19 manufacturing sites globally in 11 countries, five continents. More importantly, more than 50% of our manufacturing assets are based in Asia, a large competitive advantage to us. Just compared to this globally, our competitor's asset base in Asia would be less than 1%. We serve all major industries, more than 4,000 customers in 100 countries, 1,600 products, one of the widest product range in the industry, and more than 200 people working in technology. Giving you all a little bit flavor on the integration. Integrating the companies were very important. When we started the integration process, we didn't realize that we are integrating two companies, but actually three companies, as integration between Heubach and Clariant was not completed. From day one, we had challenges on profitability. We were challenged. In addition to this, we had to remove or roll back the insolvency surcharge, which was to a large amount in the industry. We had to roll this back because customers felt very vindicated because of these charges, right? That again put a lot of pressure on profitability. We had very high working capitals, high inventories, but at the same time, customer service was very poor because of broken supply chain processes. In order to win back trust, we said we will, on the first 6 months, 9 months, we will not focus on the inventory. In fact, we increased some of the inventory. As we are kind of streamlining the supply chain processes, we are kind of aligning ourselves to this now. There was a legacy mindset. As I said, there was no integration. In addition to that, no integration, during the insolvency, each entity was asked, kind of working on their own, right? Survival was on their own. Hence, a big silo mentality had developed as everyone had to survive on their own. That was the other challenge for us. No one thought of the one company together and what's good for it. Critical leadership talent was missing and lack of harmonized reporting systems, right? This was a big challenge, and we took on ourselves first to lay this strong foundation. We want to lay a strong foundation so that we are on a good foundation for the growth to come in the future. So to elaborate a little bit, what we've done in the past 1 year is really built back trust with customers, very glad to tell you that we've received the Best Supplier of the Year award from several of our customers with customer centricity at our heart. The second main point was value capture. We really focused on a lot of value capture initiatives across the organization. Almost every part of the organization is touched on this. And that's really helped us to deliver a positive EBITDA on the acquired group, right? We wanted to ensure that our processes are efficient, and hence quite a few of the transaction processes we want to bring back to India so that we are more efficient, and we've set up a GCC now. In the next 6 months, 8 months, they should get fully operational. One culture alignment that everyone works in one direction, right? With one mission, one purpose. And that's been a big initiative throughout the organization. More than 95% people have gone through rigorous workshops in aligning the mindset towards the one production. As we say, one culture is important. The integration on process and systems were as important, and we thought this is strategic in nature. And hence, we've decided to launch the One SAP Drive project in Tika to integrate 4 systems into one integrated systems. It's a big challenging task because it's not just SAP, but also 180 different applications outside of SAP are getting integrated. And we hope to complete this by this year end. Talking about the Q4 performance, very glad to tell you that we had a very robust performance in Q4. For the acquired group, we had projected 9 to 10 million of EBITDA, but the business EBITDA we delivered, we surpassed that, and we delivered 11 million of EBITDA. We had planned to reduce inventory by 20 million. We've reduced inventory by 29 million, right? So I think the team has done a great job in delivering the robust performance, as we say. More importantly, what has happened is that the net debt, which was at 934 crores in December 25, has reduced to 755 crores at March on March 26. Talking a little bit on the performance of Q4 again as one Sudarshan. And to explain this, the first four columns talk about the legacy Sudarshan business, then is the acquired business, and then the total pigment global business. As you can see, compared to Q3, we've done a tremendous job in delivering good growth, and this was really triggered because the whole destocking impact which customers had, that got over, and during the insolvency, as I had mentioned, a lot of customers had stocked up because of the insecurity of supply, and now that was completely over and customers had started buying it. Also, our value capture initiatives delivered a very good performance from a perspective of EBITDA. All in all, I think a very good Q4 numbers as we can see. Talking a little bit on the we had introduced the concept of business EBITDA last time, which was different than the reported EBITDA. This was mainly because we were going through a large correction in inventories, right? As I mentioned, we've reduced our inventories by 29 million last year, and that causes a big fluctuation in the EBITDA as you start reducing EBITDA. Nakuji would explain a little bit of the bridge between EBITDA and reported EBITDA and business EBITDA and more clarification on that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rathi. So as Mr. Rathi has mentioned, we have started reported business EBITDA last quarter, and this quarter due to the significant reduction in the inventory. Business EBITDA is the profit which is on the actual sales to the customer without any impact of the finished goods and semi-finished goods inventory changes. As finished goods inventory increases due to the higher production, overhead gets inventorized into the balance sheet. The absorption of the overhead moves to the balance sheet. This reverses in the period when we start selling from the inventory, and then this inventorized overhead gets charged to the P&L. On a yearly basis, this gets normalized when we see the sales volume and production volume converges. The reporting of the business EBITDA in this quarter was due to significant reduction which we have done in the inventories during the quarter. Coming back to the numbers, the reported EBITDA for the quarter is 73 crore, which is adjusted with one-time purchase price allocation credit due to the business combination accounting of rupees 37 crore. This is one-time gain and this is a non-cash gain. This is further adjusted with 82 crore of the released of the inventorized overhead during the quarter due to the reduction of the inventory, which we have mentioned earlier. With this, our business EBITDA for the quarter under reporting is 118 crore.
Thank you. Speaking on the full financial year performance of the pigment business, the revenue from, if you see Sudarshan legacy, the revenue was flattish. This was mainly because we had some rationalization in the go-to market strategy in our distributors, right? And in our distributors, especially in Europe and Latin, which caused a temporary blip. In addition to this, on the EBITDA part, there were some integration costs sitting in. This has caused the EBITDA to slightly dip. In terms of the acquired group for the full year, as we saw on the revenue basis, we saw some destocking impact, which we should be able to normalize. And a great efforts were made, as I said, in the value capture, and that's where you're seeing a good positive EBITDA turnaround for the year. This is just including Vico in the performance. So I'll just skim through these slides and speak a little bit more on Vico.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Rathi. On the deep diving into the Vico performance for the quarter and for the year, I will more concentrate on the full year performance. For the financial year 26, Vico has reported the revenue from operation of 268 crore compared to 228 crore last year, the growth of 17.5%, and this increase is due to the execution of high-value projects during this year. On the EBITDA side, we have seen the sharp rebound and the recovery from the negative 17 crore EBITDA to positive 10 crore, and this has been driven majorly by the revenue increase and our initiative for the transformation on the transformation side, which are organization restructuring, fixed cost reduction, and absolutely robust control on the project cost monitoring, which has helped in the EBITDA improvement of the region. Thank you.
Yes.
Coming to the financial ratios, the positive sign is our net debt for the group is at 755 crore, and this is also after considering the acquisition finance. Just to recap our debt number for legacy Sudarshan in FY23 were also in the similar range of around 800 crore. So we see as a group, this is a positive sign that we are keeping our balance sheet healthy, and net debt to equity ratio is at also 0.3%, 0.3 times.
On the outlook, I think first a little bit talking about the Middle East crisis, as we say, the Gulf War situation has definitely impacted our cost base, right? And several raw materials used by OneSudarshan are petroleum derived, and we are facing both price increases and supply constraints. And our first endeavor is to ensure that we have enough raw materials, even if it's at high cost. Our energy costs have significantly increased. We have a logistics cost, some logistic cost increases, but more importantly, logistic lead times have increased. But what we have been working is we are using our global footprint as a competitive advantage to ensure that supply ability to our customers is good. We further accelerated our value capture efforts, and we selected, ensuring that we are able to pass on the cost increases to our customers. So we are playing a delicate balance. We're watching each region, each industry, how the industry is reacting, ensuring that we do not lose volumes, but at the same time, we are able to pass on the increases. We've also created a cross-functional team to closely monitor the situation and react as fast as possible. So we're dealing with this more on a tactical basis on the Middle East crisis. We are not able, we are not in a way not kind of projecting this for the coming year. So let me talk now on the full year, how we see the year. As you've seen, a very robust performance in the Q4. We've built back customer trust, as you can see, and the destocking situation on legacy Vaibhav products is easing and almost, over, I would say, at least the insolvency destocking. We also saw good buying from global key accounts, right? We are cautiously navigating the challenging working environment created by the current geopolitical situation. Uncertainty, resulting in logistic challenges, rising raw materials. So we are ensuring that we're navigating this situation very cautiously. Integration, as I mentioned, is progressing well. The SAP, GCC, One Culture, One ESG movement is moving very well to solidify Sudarshan. And our value capture initiatives will yield improved profits and working capital improvements. We remain fairly confident in our strategic rationale of the acquisition. We expect to achieve 90 to 100 million over the next 3 to 4 years as guided at the time of acquisition. And all this is driven by synergies, value capture initiatives, and sales growth. We expect to deliver an EBITDA of 35 million for the next financial year. All in all, as I mentioned, the integration is going well. To remind everyone, I think, we have one of the largest global pigment platforms with scale, reach, and a great deep industry legacies. Sudarshan itself, legacy has 75 years of inheritance. Clariant, I walk more than 200 years, and that's what kind of helps us with a deep inherent knowledge. We have the broadest product portfolio and a technology depth. We have rebuilt our technical teams, and we would be able to serve every customer needs, and that's what we are focusing on. I already mentioned about our global footprint structural advantage, enabling a resilient supply chain for us. Integration and value capture engine as well, that a lot of synergies have been identified. We are ensuring that we are able to capture on those initiatives. A very positive EBITDA trajectory supported by volume recovery, margin discipline, and cost optimization. All in all, I think we are merging out stronger with a clear execution agenda and an improved plan to sustainability. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may click on the raise hand icon to ask your question. Also note, participants are requested to announce their company name before proceeding with the question. Participants are requested to limit their sum to 2 questions per participant and rejoin for a follow-up question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Anil Nahata. Kindly announce your company name and proceed with your question.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Okay. Good morning. This is Anil Nahata from Parami Financial. I have a couple of questions for the management. The first question is, in the last quarter, we had sort of indicated that we want to liquidate the inventories over the next 2 or 3 quarters. And that was around 35 to 40 million, if I remember right. So how we have progressed on that, and with the war and everything and the prices rising, now is that inventory still going to have a loss, or we can even look at break even or even a profit on the inventory sale?
So as I indicated in my presentation, Sunatha, that we've been able to reduce 29 million of inventory. And as we navigate this situation, we will see what are the other additional opportunities in the coming year to reduce further inventories.
So what will be the extent of inventories left for which we had stocked up for meeting the customer requirement? Just a ballpark figure.
So these were kind of existing from the very beginning, and as we built up this stock, and I think we hope that we are able to further optimize our inventories to the tune of 15 to 20 million.
Okay. My second question is, while you have indicated that the net debt at a group level is now around 760 crores, which is very good news and the balance sheet is healthy. However, I also note that most of the cash is in the Sudarshan, basically the Indian entity, and most of the debt is in the external entities. So how do you look at reducing the debt over a period of time?
Thanks, Anil. Very good observation that we have also the cash in the Indian entity, but there is also the cash in the acquired group. As we move ahead, this particular debt, which is in the acquired group, will get served from the cash flow generation from the acquired operation.
I understand that, but when you look at the current year kind of guidance of around 5% EBITDA, I mean, that will not be sufficient, right? So when you move to 900 million, yes, I can understand you will have some operating cash flow. So, I mean, if you can give some kind of a trajectory of how are you looking to reduce that 1600 crore in the next 4 or 5 years, to what level, that will be highly appreciable. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Anil. As we had taken this acquisition finance, the repayment schedule is a ladder schedule. So the first repayment will start in the current financial year and will get deferred. So we are fairly confident as we move along with the EBITDA trajectory, this will be, covering the debt repayment as we move. Thank you.
Thank you, Anil. I'll request to come back for a follow-up question. Next question is from the line of Rohit Nagaraj. Kindly announce your company name and proceed with your question. Rohit Nagaraj, may I request to unmute your line? Announce your company name and proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Rohit Nagaraj from 361 Capital. Sorry, I joined a bit late, so I'm not too sure whether you had this in your commentary. But from the supply chain side, on both the aspects, in terms of raw material sourcing and the product placement, have we faced any challenges over the last 3 months? What are the steps that we are taking to smoothen this particular challenge, given that now we are looking at sourcing across geographies and our customers are located across different continents? So any view on this would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Roji. I think, as I mentioned, that we have our raw materials are petrochemicals derived, and we are facing both price increases, supply constraints, but we have ensured that we are able to cover enough inventory that we don't look at that, right? Energy costs have also increased. So what we've done is we are leveraging our global manufacturing footprint to ensure that the supply ability to our customers is on. We further accelerated our value capture initiatives, and we are passing on our cost increases to customers on region specific, how the regions are reacting based on that.
Sure. But we have not faced any material challenges as of yet terms of, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Thank you so much. The second question is in terms of the integration benefits. So have we got the entire integration benefits, or will there be something left which can be accessed during, say, FY27, sorry. Thank you.
So the entire integration impact would come in the next 2 financial years, sir. As I have mentioned, our value capture is a very important stream, and we see a lot of opportunities. So that's one area. The second is, as we implement our one SAP and set up our GCC, we will see good addition. And that's where I think that's where we are projecting a very a healthy turnaround on the EBITDA of the acquired group.
Sure. Thanks a lot, and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gagan Dixit. Kindly unmute your line, announce your company name, and proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question, sir. My few questions is about the Sir Hubeck Group. So your
Gagan, sorry to interrupt you. May I request you to proceed with your company name first and then go ahead with your question?
Yeah, this is Gagan Dixit from Elara Securities. Yeah. I have a few questions about the this group. So your EBITDA run rate has improved to the 61 million that's in Q4 versus 47 in the Q3. So how much is the true demand versus the restocking impact? If you can just give the breakup, and what is the typical April and May run rate that's currently going on? That's my first question, sir.
So I think the EBITDA on the acquired group, as we reported, is if you look at the business EBITDA without the destocking impact, it is about 118 crores, right? And this has mainly come as I mentioned that it's not about restocking, but this is like people have started buying earlier quarters. There was a destocking impact, right? So from that perspective, Q4 is always the strongest quarter, but customers have started buying, right? And there is a seasonal trend where you find Q3 will be a very weak quarter as we've gone more global, right? And as December is a fairly muted month for the group.
Yeah. And so my second question is about the demand, sir. So you mentioned in the presentation that this Q4 recovery was driven by the global key accounts, India, Europe demand recovery, and also tariffs is in the North America. So is this broad-based recovery that you see across, for the coatings, stickings, or it's concentrated in selective accounts or regions? That's what, just if you give some color about it, sir.
We've seen an overall good recovery in Q4. I think during the mid-March, we did see the crisis, but I think from that perspective, we've seen a full good global recovery in all segments of the industry, primarily in coatings, right, which is our acquired group's main sales, which are very strong in coatings. So, but every segment, I would say, and
strong, good rebound.
And so my final question is about the some guidance or some idea about the legacy Sudarshan margins, sir. So your margins was very healthy, around more than 14%, sir. I mean business EBITDA margin. So for FY27, is this sustainable? This rising crude link, oil volatility, raw material cost volatility, all these things. So or you expect some normalization or? So that's what it, you can give some color about it.
No, we are hoping to maintain a healthy margin on the acquired on legacy Sudarshan business too. We are making every effort to pass on any cost increases through the value chain to our customers so that our margins are protected.
Yeah, that's from my side. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nilesh Guhe. Kindly unmute your line, announce your company name and proceed with your question. Nilesh Guhe?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, hi. I'm Nilesh Guhe from HDFC Securities. Sir, one first question is on the depreciation. If I look at the quarterly depreciation for your console, so in earlier three quarters, the run rate was in the range of 99 to 100 crore in that range. But for this quarter, it was about 50 crore. So any adjustment here in the depreciation?
Thank you, Nilesh. So the depreciation for the quarter is at 50 crore. As we mentioned earlier, the business combination accounting under Ind AS 103 provides during the measurement period, which is a 1 year from the date of closing of the transaction, which was last year, March 25, gives us a window to fair value the assets and liability before finalization of the purchase price allocation. As we mentioned last year, the purchase price allocation was a preliminary or provisional purchase price allocation. During the measurement period, we have fair valued all the assets and liabilities and that too on the fixed asset side. And that impact of the re-measurement of the fair value has been considered in the final purchase price allocation. And this has given one-time reduction in the depreciation cost, which has been reflected in the quarter four, which is a reporting quarter. On an annualized basis, the run rate, what we have seen of 196 crore for the entire year should be factored in for the purpose of the work.
So on annual basis, how much you are saying?
I'm sorry, not 196 crore, 347 crore.
Okay, 347
crore. Yeah, yeah. For the
thanks. This is the second question on the tax. Sir, can you guide us on the tax rate for on an annualized basis? That will be helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Nilesh. On the tax rate, the ETR is currently slightly on a higher side for the acquired group as on a conservative or prudent accounting basis. We are not considered deferred taxes within few entities. But maybe you can consider the similar range for the year also. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot, sir. That's all from my side. Understood.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ranjit Sirumbala. Kindly announce your company name and proceed with your question.
Yeah, sir, I'm Ranjit from IIFL Capital Services. My first question is to Mr. RTG. So while doing the Subac acquisitions, we were also talking about making our Frankfurt site more of a specialty center while we intend to kind of move the commodity production more towards the Indian operations. So how far have we been in this particular journey? If you can elaborate a bit on this, that would be helpful.
We've already moved some of the commodity products into the Indian Fibox site in Roha, and now Frankfurt primarily remains a very
is towards a specialty product range.
Well, also, if you can share some bit or more color onto the volume and price-led growth during the 4Q and FY26 for the HUBAC and consolidated group.
Ranjit, can you please repeat the question?
Yeah, so a bit more granularity with regards to volume-led growth and the price-led growth for the fourth quarter, more so for the HUBAC group.
Majorly volume growth, volume-related growth has come in. We've not gone through any price increases, etc. in Q4. This is all volume recovery.
Okay. On this 35 million euro EBITDA that we are guiding for FY27, if you can provide us a ballpark figure about how much are we building in from the integration benefits and the recovery in the business.
So there is a, it's a mixed bag, right? As you can see, this year also, the EBITDA has remained positive only because of value capture initiatives. And these are all both baked in. There is a very moderate growth taken into account for the year, given the current geopolitical issues.
Okay. My final question is to Mr. Natuji. While we understand the YOY comparison might not be correct, given that we had only 1 month consolidation last year, but if you see on a sequential, while we understand fourth quarter and the first quarter is key or seasonally good quarters for the pigments, we have seen a sharp 33% growth in sales on a sequential basis from the third quarter to the fourth quarter. But when I look at the other operating expenditure, there is only a uptick of 13-odd%. So how should we see this? And that is what has clearly benefited us on the EBITDA front. The other expenditure growth has been lower than the sales growth.
Thanks, Sanjit, and correct observation. While there has been a sales growth in the quarter four compared to the quarter three, quarter on quarter there is a growth, which has also resulted in, you know, the better operating leverage. As Mr. Rathi has also mentioned, the value capture initiatives which we have started are also building as the reason. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I will come back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may click on raise hand icon to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Nitesh Dhoot. Kindly announce your company name and proceed with your question. Nitesh, may I request to unmute your line and proceed? Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. Next question is from Ankur Perwan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity there. Two, three questions there. So one, you know, in the last quarter, we did highlight about a slightly elevated cost inventory, which was sitting at HUBAC's, you know, books and possibility of, you know, we incurring some bit of lower margins or maybe losses there. But given the RM inflation now, what's the thought on that number and what that number will be now, given that we would have sold some as well?
Ankurji, I think just to clarify, we were not on high cost inventory, but our inventory numbers were high, right?
Okay.
And as Mr. Nathu had explained, as we reduce inventory, the overhead charges flow from the balance sheet into the P&L, which causes the EBITDA depression, right? And we reduced 29 million of inventory in Q4, and during this year we are targeting to reduce 15 to 20 more million gradually.
Sure, Rathi ji. And you also alluded towards, let's say lack of confidence among customers given the way, things were getting handled earlier. Are we behind that curve largely?
Yes.
And incrementally, let's say by the end of next financial year, which is FY27, will we be looking more at a normalized inventory and what that number could be? We are right now at give and take 90 days inventory on a consolidated basis. What can this number reduce to?
Yeah. So, Ankurji, I think firstly the customer trust has been built back. Customers have started buying, right, from us, which is great news. We want to further reduce 15 to 20 million, and I think that will be the normal state of the business going forward. And that's where I think the reported and business EBITDAs would merge going forward. This is an exceptional situation where we have reduced substantial inventory.
Sure, sir. Second, your thoughts on RICO. Some time back we had, thoughts of probably hiving off the business, turning around the business and hiving it off. How do you look at, that asset now? Is there further uptick in profitability, margins, or a business ramp-up that you would like to achieve? Or, your thoughts essentially on that business here?
Absolutely, sir. I think the transformation is not over and the numbers have not substantially improved, which our expectation is. I think the business requires more time to kind of deliver robust numbers. And we are confident that in the coming years, the numbers should keep improving as the transformation gets completed.
Sure, Rathiji. Thanks for all the answers. I'll get back into the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajesh Kothari. Kindly unmute your line, announce your company name, and proceed with your question.
Good morning, sir. Rajesh Kothari here from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Sir, I have just two, three questions. The first is, and pardon for my ignorance, I joined a little late, about 10, 15 minutes late. My first question is on standalone business. By when do you think, we can come back to that good, double-digit growth? Because still, the overall industry is also a little bit struggling, but now the paint industry is talking about a reasonably good growth. Last year, auto industry was doing very well, but not getting reflected in our numbers. So how do you see the growth for standalone and what will be the key drivers for that growth? That's my first question.
As I mentioned, Rajeshji, I think the legacy business was impacted a little bit with rationalization of distributors, etc. abroad. That kind of business got a muted growth. Given the geopolitical crisis, not given that that should have, that does not have a major impact, we should deliver 8 to 10% of growth this year.
Okay. And sir, my second question is, in particularly our, acquired group business, what do you think will be the impact of the higher energy cost? And does it making, disturbance in terms of our production target as well?
The energy cost increase is impacting all of us, and especially Europe, it's impacted a lot. And our endeavor is to ensure that our margins don't get impacted. We are able to pass on these increases, right? However, region-wise, and the country of origin of our competitors, there is certain lag in passing on, but we are ensuring that whatever is necessary, we pass on the increasing by at the same time maintaining the volume. So it's a little bit of a balance act we need to perform.
I see. And energy cost should be how much percent of the revenue for the the global business?
10%.
So Rohitji, within the range of 6 to 7%.
This is a post increase, right? Not the pre increase.
Yes.
Okay. And my last question is, we have seen significant increase in, generally speaking, all chemical prices. And does it also positively impact us in terms of, since we are holding the old inventory, the earlier pricing and current pricing probably would have changed significantly. So does it help us to reduce those write downs and probably it can have a positive impact on our overall inventory?
No, we don't see that, Rajeshji. What we are doing is we don't want to profit from this situation, and we want to maintain our volumes. So we are ensuring that whatever cost increases we see, only that's what we are passing on to the customers. Our customers also recognize that in the value chain there is inventory, and and phase of building trust, we are very transparent with our customers.
Thank you. Rajesh Kotari, I'll request to come back.
Thank you, sir.
Next question is from the line of Nilesh Dood. Can we unmute your line, announce your company name, and proceed with your question?
I hope I'm audible now.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. You mentioned... Nitesh Dood from Anand Rathi Institutional Equity. I'll go ahead with my question now. So, sir, you mentioned, about 8 to 10% growth, volume growth on the legacy business. Where would we be in terms of capacity utilization for our legacy, the Indian plants? And, how much capacity headroom do we have in the legacy pigments business? And also a connected one that, looking at the acquired group, where would we be in terms of the overall capacity utilization there, if possible to have that kind of a number, any ballpark there?
So, Nitesh ji, I think we have enough capacity headroom in both the legacies to grow, and our projection of what EBITDA we've shown in the 3 to 4 years does not require any investment for volumes, right? So we should be able to achieve this from that perspective, right? So we have enough capacities between both the entities for our growth coming forward.
Why I ask this question is because when we completed our expansions in the Indian plant, we had indicated about 3 to 4 years of reaching full capacity utilization, and probably that we are already in the last year of that period, FY27. So that is the reason behind asking, have we reached closer to optimal capacity utilizations or not? So
no, I think we have enough. We've debottlenecked further, etc. So it does provide a headroom for growth. And given that when the integration is really completed, I think we would have enough capacities on as one unit together, right, for our group. Yeah.
So. One more on the gross margins of the UBAC group, that's after adjusting the insolvency premium, after normalizing the insolvency premium, what would be a steady, a gross margin number to work with? Or maybe if you can, just give the difference between the legacy pigment, gross margins and the acquired pigment gross margins, that would also help.
So, I think between the legacy and the acquired group, there is on the gross margin part, there is at least 4 to 5 percentage points of higher but the fixed cost is higher on the acquired group, right? So that's how it kind of balances out from that.
This difference is purely due to the superior product portfolio there, or the backward integration bit, or what would exactly be the reasons attributed to this difference in the gross margin between both the businesses?
I think product portfolio and the industries which we serve to, right?
All right. Great. So thank you. That were my questions. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Avinash Nahata. Kindly unmute your line, announce your company name, and proceed with your question.
Am I audible, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I represent Parmi Financials. So two questions. The first question is, Rajesh ji, while the time of acquisition and during the course of last 5-6 quarters, we would have identified certain assets, units, plants, which is more relevant to somebody else than us from strategic point of view, from geographical, and basically while we are realigning our supply chain. So there would be certain assets which you think might require disposal. So any thought on this?
So we are exploring, you know, on the non-core assets, we could explore, you know, the first year was very busy in integrating the business, the turnaround. Right now, the thought process is very initial, and I think we will come back to you at the right time when, you know, when we could look at this. But there is an, there could definitely be an opportunity looking at that.
Okay, thanks. And my second question is regarding the demand in the industry. So, I mean, if you can talk about collectively both in Europe and maybe to our entire representative geography, what is the kind of demand growth we are looking at? A, from the industry demand perspective, and second is winning back our customer, winning market share. So both put together, hum kya growth dekh sakte hain? Leave aside pricing, if we can talk about volumes ki hum kya growth dekh sakte hain over the next 2-3 years. Thank you.
I think Q4 represented a strong comeback in volumes, and we were, you know, we were hoping that this trend would continue. Given the current geopolitical situation, quite a few of our customers are seeing a little bit of a muted demand, or some of their complementary products are not being available, and that's where, you know, some of their production levels are low. Second, people are taking a very cautionary advice on building up inventory, right? I mean, the, you know, like everyone is guessing, when this gets over, people don't want to be stuck with high cost inventories. So in the near term, the demand looks muted, but, you know, as this, it's very hard to predict when this crisis would get over, how the demand would come back, etc. But I would say, barring the geopolitical crisis, the demand looks fairly, you know, looked fairly good going forward, and from that perspective. The U.S. market, you know, the housing market, the paint market is a little bit in, you know, trouble. No, and as that economy recovers, we would see that demand coming.
Okay, just a follow-up on this. If I were to ask this differently, over the last 3 years, what has been the demand in the industry? And my question still remains unanswered, Ajay-ji, is ki, with our realignment of supply chain, winning back our customers, okay, war is one, I understand people don't want to get stuck with higher inventory. So maybe when things normalize, the restocking, etc. will happen at a normalized level. So A, 2-3 saal se kya growth hai industry mein, and at a normalized level, hamara jo pura portfolio usme hum kya grow kar sakte hain? Because for us, it is also winning back our customers, not the industry growth only.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I think when you saw the Q4 growth, this was not the industry growth. This was our growth of winning back the business and the destocking of customers getting over, right? The general industry growth of 2-3 years is, you know, generally the pigment industry goes with the GDP of that area, right? And our overall growth of the industry is, it kind of varies between 3-4% globally. Right, that's the industry growth of the pigment on that, and what I described to you is when our growth, you know, from a growth Q4 perspective, our entire growth came back. There is no one-offs, right? It was like customers starting to buy back, having, you know, looking at destocking over, and having that. At the same time, I must say, like I said, there's a temporary blip I see, given that customers are very cautious.
Okay, thanks a lot. And if I can squeeze one more, is on the shareholding perspective. So there are certain family members which are on the non-promoter. So what is the, if any, message for the shareholders? I mean, is there any thought process there?
On the shareholding, I think as we have professionalized the management, the family had stepped down from the board and the management, and that's the reason the family had taken a view to to de-promotize as they were not playing that role perspective. I think however, they still remain committed to the growth of Sudarshan.
Thanks, Rajeshji, and thanks. All the very best to the Sudarshan team. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, Nilo. Thank you, Axis Capital and Mr. Ankur Periwal. And thank you all the participants for your time and interest in Sudarshan Chemical and putting forth business questions. We are entering FY27 with stronger platform, clearer execution agenda, and improved path to sustainable profitability. We remain confident in our growth journey and strategy and continue toward our commitment to deliver value to our stakeholders. We look forward to engaging with you again in future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this meeting. Thank you for joining us, and you may now leave the meeting. Thank you.